First Epistle of John, chapter 2, and verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction, that is an anointing, from the Holy One. And you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, to lead you astray. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word. And Lord, we pray that you would bless your word to us as we meditate on it, as we, Lord, hear your word in our hearts, as we receive your word into our hearts. Lord, tonight that you may do us good, that we may indeed know the things which are ours in Christ Jesus, that we may know the anointing which is ours in Christ Jesus, that we may know, Lord, that which you have made available to us, to lead us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to keep us, to empower us, to equip us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We talk much about the anointing, and maybe we don't know what the anointing is. Maybe we've got the idea and gone away with the idea that the anointing is some sort of feeling. Well, in that anything the Lord does in our lives, in our salvation, in the blessings that he freely gives to us, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, everything that he does is bound to affect us, body, soul, and spirit. For the Lord leaves no part of us untouched. Our salvation is a complete salvation. We are saved, body, soul, and spirit. The Word of God says that there is a complete redemption. But you say, one day this body of mine is going to die and I'm going to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. So you are, if you're the Lord's and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. But the Lord has a plan for our body as well. And in the book of Romans, it speaks about the redemption of the body. The redemption of the body. And Jesus said, when these things come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. But all these years you've been singing, I have been redeemed. So what's this about your redemption drawing nigh, if you've been redeemed? The Word of God says there's the redemption of the body. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, and the Bible says his body saw no corruption, so the Word of God says also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the dead shall be raised incorruptible. It says, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. This mortal shall put on immortality. This mortal refers not to my soul but to this body. This mortal shall put on immortality. This corruption, incorruption. Hallelujah. And the Bible speaks about the resurrection of the body. That when Jesus comes again, there is going to be a glorious resurrection day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It should fill you with excitement. You're not going to be spirits wafting around the universe forever. This is what the Word of God teaches us. Now, you can either accept it or reject it, but if you reject it, you're rejecting what the Bible says. And whatever God does affects us, body, soul, spirit. And we can sing, "I get so thrilled with Jesus," every moment of the day. Because we do get thrilled. There is a thrill in knowing Jesus. We do get emotionally excited. It's all part of being a Christian. I mean, the world spends lots of money to get itself emotionally excited. There's nothing wrong in being emotionally excited. But when that emotional excitement comes from the thrill of what Jesus is doing in your life, that's tremendous. But don't go away with the idea that the anointing is just some cheap emotional thrill and that's all there is to it. Some little electric shock running up and down the spine. That's not the anointing. The anointing may have that sort of side effect, but the anointing is something far greater and far more precious than that. The anointing is something which is eternal. The anointing is something which is the right of every born-again believer. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It's not something which is hard to get. Some people trade in these things, you know. Terrible, isn't it? But there are some Christian leaders that trade in these things and make it sound as though the anointing is something difficult to get. But if you go to their meeting and buy their products and put your money in their collection, you'll get the anointing. But it's not something to trade in. The anointing is something which God has freely given. And it's available to every born-again believer, every Christian who is born again of the Spirit, saved through the precious blood of Jesus, may know that anointing. It's for believers. It's free. It's free. John, when he wrote this epistle, and we read chapter 2 tonight, when he wrote this letter, he was writing to those who were Christians. He was writing to those who could say, "Yes, we're born again." Being born again is not some 20th century term applied to some American fanatics who go around saying, "Are you born again, brother?" Born again is a biblical term. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, "You must be born again." And the truth today is just the same. If you want to see the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the words of Jesus are the same today. They have not changed. You must be born again. You must have experienced this new birth of the Spirit of God, born again, forgiven, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, born again of his Spirit. And John was talking to those who were born again. That's why he says to them, in verse 12, we didn't actually read verse 12, but in verse 12 of 1 John chapter 2, he says this: "I write unto you, little children." And in verse 18, which we did read tonight, he says, "Little children, it is the last time." Why does he call these grown-up people little children? Because they've been born again of the Spirit. They've started a new life in Christ Jesus. And he says, "Little children." And he wrote to these little children about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing is not for those who have been on the Christian pathway for many, many years, you know, and they're 105 years old, and as a reward you now have the anointing. You've lived good and faithful lives, here's the anointing. The anointing is for beginners. The anointing is for those who have started in the Christian life, born again of the Spirit. It's for them to equip them, to keep them, to guide them, and to empower them. Hallelujah. And we may know that anointing of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 1, we've read Ephesians this morning. It's a wonderful letter. I just pray tonight that you may know the anointing of God upon you as you read these words. And the Lord may speak to your hearts through them. In Ephesians 1 and verse 13, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 13 he says, "In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also," listen to these words, "in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the pledge of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." Well, there's a bit of 17th century language for you. What does that all mean? It means you were born again of the Spirit of God. When you believed the gospel, you trusted, you believed, and after that you believed, God set his seal upon you if you received it. After that you believed, God set his seal upon you. God set his mark upon you. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that seal says, this person is my possession, says God. It is the seal of God upon every believer that comes to the Lord to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And there is that seal of God upon your life if you have received the anointing that says you are God's possession. You belong to the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I've got a lot of books at home. And in the past, over the years, people have borrowed them. In fact, I've got two of Damien's still on my shelf. So I'm I'll give them that. I've lent them to people and they've not come back. Now, Damien, about 3 years ago, lent me two books and he's still not got them back, but as he's got two of mine, it's a fair swap. What I keep planning to do, but I always think it's a waste of time, is to go through all the books and put little labels in them saying, you know, this book belongs to Graham Jones. Well, I've got to be posh, ex-libris Graham Jones. No, this book belongs to. A friend of mine who used to be a pastor not so far from here used to write in his books, this book has been stolen from Tom Burns. I want to put my seal upon those books so that everybody who borrows them, you know, in 2 years' time, when they think, where did I get this book from? They can look and say, this belongs to Graham Jones. Oh, I've got to give it back to him, otherwise he'll grump. But God has done that with you and me, if we will receive it. He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. And the enemy knows that you're his, if you've got that seal on your life. Satan and all the demonic hosts know that you are the Lord's. Anointed. The anointing is so important. You know, everything in the Old Testament that was used in the service of God was anointed with oil. The vessels in the tabernacle and the tabernacle itself, they were anointed with oil. These are for God's use and God's use only. You mustn't use them for anything else. And the high priest was anointed with oil. The high priest and the priests were anointed with oil. These are the Lord's priests. They're not to be used for anything else. And so the priests served the Lord day and night. They were the Lord's. And the king was anointed with oil. This is the Lord's anointed one. And the warning that went out in the Old Testament days was, touch not the Lord's anointed. He was the Lord's. But that was all a type in the Old Testament of what we can experience really. The anointing, not just with oil, but with the oil of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It is the seal of God on your life. It's the mark of God on your life. And he's put that mark on your life as the pledge until he comes to claim you completely and take you to be with him. You will live with him forever in glory. That's what the scripture tells us tonight. You know, Jesus was the anointed one. Did you know that's what the name Christ means? When you say Jesus Christ, Christ means the anointed one. It's the Greek word, Christ, or Christos in Greek. It's the Greek word for the Hebrew, HaMashiach, which is the Messiah. The Messiah means the anointed one. The one who is anointed. The anointed one. And Jesus is the anointed one. It says in Psalm 45, thou hast anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. And it's quoted in Hebrews chapter 13, applying it to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. He is supremely the anointed one. And one day Jesus stood up in the synagogue at Nazareth and he read from the scriptures and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Hallelujah. To heal the brokenhearted. And you know how it goes on. To preach deliverance to the captives, to open the eyes of the blind, and so on. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He is the anointed one. And when the disciples at the beginning first began to preach Jesus Christ, they said, Jesus of Nazareth, whom God anointed, did all these wonderful things. He exercised a ministry of power, of setting the captives free. Why? Because he had the anointing. He was the anointed one. Hallelujah. And if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it tells you something about yourself there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given the earnest or the pledge of the Spirit in our hearts. God, who anointed Jesus of Nazareth, has anointed us also. Jesus said that the one who believes on him, the works that I do, greater works shall he do. If Jesus was the one who was anointed, and he did all those wonderful things, he said, the one who believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than me shall he do. We can know and stand in that same anointing, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's for you. It's for me. It's not for some, well, it is for some special evangelist, but it's not only for some special evangelist or for some special creature. The anointing is for all God's children, little children. These things I write unto you. The anointing. The anointing. And there are some things that the letter here that we've read tonight tells us about the anointing. I want to tell you about them this evening. Open your hearts to receive the anointing tonight. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. You see, we do believe, according to the scriptures, that for every believer, there is a glorious baptism in the Holy Spirit. And according to the word of God, that baptism in the Holy Spirit is accompanied by signs following. If there is a baptism in power, a baptism in the Holy Spirit, there must always be the accompanying results of that baptism of power. That baptism in the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you some things about the anointing tonight. The anointing, first of all, it says in John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, is from the Holy One. It is a baptism, it is an anointing in the Holy Spirit. There is nothing wrong. There is nothing bad about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There is nothing bad about the anointing in the Holy Spirit. Yet you would be surprised to find so many people who are wary of all talk of the anointing in the Holy Spirit. As if there's something strange about this, something bad, something evil. But the anointing which we receive is from the Holy One. Is it according to the Bible or is it not? It's according to the Scripture of truth, isn't it? Does the Bible speak about being filled with the Spirit? Does the Bible speak about baptism in the Holy Spirit? It speaks about baptism in the Holy Spirit and with fire. Does it speak about an anointing of the Holy Spirit? It does. So why are people wary of these things? Why do people, whoa, hold on a minute. Justified by faith alone, and I stand here and I can do no other. Let me get my head in the Word. And they fill it with the Word. But the Word of God speaks about an anointing. I've said from here before, this Word of God is precious. I'm not trying to put down the Word of God. I'm trying to put down attitudes towards the Word of God. But the Word of God is important. It's fundamental. And it's the Word of God here which tells us about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We need to know the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the anointing is from the Holy One. Now when John was speaking about this in 1 John 2, as we read it tonight, he was speaking about some who seemed to be Christians, who seemed to be part of an assembly, falling away. They went out from us, that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Some seem to fall away. Some seem to go and leave, not only the assembly, but leave the ways of the Lord. And John says, well, that's because they were never of us in the first place. They weren't born again of the Spirit. And they certainly didn't have the anointing of the Spirit. And they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Some may fall away. Some may get involved in strange and weird activities, which promote self and so on. These are the last days, says John. But, he says, the anointing which you have received, that anointing is from the Holy One. And you know all things. Later on he goes on to say that this is how we know. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We've got a wonderful anointing. And that anointing from the Holy One keeps us day by day. So that although some may fall away, if we know the anointing of the Holy Spirit, He will keep us day by day, that we do not fall away. He will keep us. We're not kept by our own effort. When we get to glory, when we get stand in the presence of God, we're not going to be able to say to God, well, didn't I do well? I kept the faith. I mean, Paul said I kept the faith, but we know what he meant. I kept going. I didn't deny. I kept going. I got there. I didn't. But you know, although we might be able to say those things, we kept the faith, we didn't fall away. If we examine our lives and we look back on our lives, we're going to say, I kept the faith, I kept on going, because He kept me. Amen. Day by day. He kept me. At the end of the Epistle to Jude, it says, unto Him that is able to keep us from falling, and to present us faultless before the Father. It's Him. It's the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit who keeps us day by day. We have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One that keeps us day by day. And the Word of God exhorts us, Jesus exhorted us, hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus said, come to me, all you that are thirsty, and drink. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Come to him and drink. Know that anointing. It says in Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's what follows on, isn't it? Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Well, come on then, hallelujah. So, a bit of singing. Oh, but it's so hot sitting here. Tough, I'm glad you're sitting there and I'm standing up here where it's a bit cooler. Oops. It's interesting to compare that with Colossians. Wow, you say, this is going to get a bit heavy tonight. We're going through a lot of scriptures. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. There are so many parallels between Ephesians and Colossians. And if you look at Colossians, there is the Colossians version of this. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves, and so on and so forth. In Colossians it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's Colossians 3 and verse 16. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's the same verse, but there's a little bit of a difference. One, it says, be filled with the Spirit. And the other, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You see, I do believe that the word of God and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, go together to bring blessing in our hearts and our lives. And we can't have one without the other, because they come together. The Holy Spirit inspired this Word of God. Amen. And there are people who go off at tangents saying they've got all sorts of revelation from the Holy Spirit, and they forsake the Word of God. And if you check it out against the Word of God, you say, but that's not in here. That's not in here. We do get some strange ideas these days that people have. We need the Word of God. But if you just have the Word of God and you neglect the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you get into the dry dust of Ezekiel's valley of bones. It's all dead. Well, I hope there's a bit more life tonight than we need both. And the Word of God sets forth both here in Ephesians and Colossians. Be filled with the Spirit and let the Word of Christ dwell in your heart, dwell in you richly. And rejoice. Get that anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He keeps us. He equips us. I'm looking at the time too. But the anointing also abides. Or remains. It remains. Listen carefully. John said, some seek to seduce you. Or some seek to lead you astray. Some seek to make you wanderers. Is what the Greek says. It's a word that's connected with our word planet. And a planet is called a planet because it's the Greek word for wandering. And out of all the stars that the ancient Greeks looked at, the planets didn't keep in the same place from night to night. They wandered all over the place. So they called them the wanderers. I love to go a-wandering. And that's the song of many a Christian today. I'll wander here tonight and I'll wander somewhere else next week and I'll wander off to a disco the week after and so on and so forth. And the Word of God says there are many that want to seduce you, to make you wander. The enemy wants you to wander. But the Lord wants you to be sure and steadfast. But he says, although there are many that seek to seduce you, to lead you astray, but the anointing which you've received of him abides, it remains. You've got something within, if you've known that anointing of the Holy Spirit, you've got something which remains, that the world cannot take away. Praise the Lord. The anointing abides. Jesus said, I will never leave you. We read this in Hebrews, actually. But he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And he is faithful who said those words. I will never leave you or forsake you. In fact, it says in my notes here, read it. Don't just quote it. So let's read it, because there are two verses I want to read. This is what it says. Let your conversation, remember that means your way of life, your manner of life, your behaviour. Let your manner of life be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. I used to have that text about the mantelpiece, didn't I? Do you remember that? Be content with such things as you have. So I could always point Penny in that direction. But we need, be content with such things as you have. Call to a life of poverty. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man should do unto me. Many seek to seduce you, to lead you astray, but I will not fear what man would do unto me. We've got an anointing, and it remains. It abides. No new anointing necessary. I mean, we can get a fresh anointing from the Lord, but it's the same anointing. It's good to come before the Lord and to know that freshness of the anointing day by day, moment by moment. But I want to say that there's no brand new anointing in the sense of a different anointing. There's no different anointing. There's one anointing. One anointing. And it remains. And you can know the freshness of that anointing day by day. And if you grow stale, you can come back to the Lord and know the freshness of that anointing again. There's no different anointing. There's no brand new anointing to get. There's only one anointing. The anointing which you have received from him, that abides, that remains. In fact, John began his epistle by saying, that which was from the beginning. Hold on, let's get it. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. All that is necessary for our fullness of joy is that which was from the beginning. And yet there are people going around peddling new anointings. Something which is different. A special revelation which the Lord gave to me and he gave to nobody else. And if you send your donation to me, buddy, I'll let you know what this revelation was. I've had the letter through the post. I've got a revelation especially for you. If you send me your donation. And I'll let you know what the anointing is. What the revelation is. We can't make merchandise of the things of God. There is no different anointing, no different revelation. In fact, old Matthew Henry, some of you may have come across Matthew Henry, used to say, truth is older than error. And so it is. Truth is older than error. That which was from the beginning. The anointing that you've received him abides. There's no up and down, up and down. The Holy Spirit doesn't take us on roller coaster rides. Well, we may experience that as we go through life, but the Holy Spirit is there to bring stability into our lives, that we're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine and so on. The Holy Spirit doesn't take us up and down. In John chapter 14, boy, doesn't that big hand go. Do you remember that Sunday night at the London Palladium, Yoicks, 30-odd years ago? No, you don't, you're too young. Used to be a game on there called Beat the Clock. John 14, verse 15 and 17. If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you. The anointing abides. Now, I'm not going to go through everything that I've got here tonight, because there isn't time, and time is gone. But the Word of God also goes on to say, in John chapter 2, that the anointing teaches you all things. And Jesus said that too, that when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, the Comforter, he will guide you into all truth. And John said, as we read it tonight, you have no need that any man should teach you, but that same anointing teaches you all things. Now that doesn't mean to say that there aren't teachers in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are. But we need no teaching of man. All that we receive is that teaching which comes from the Holy Spirit. And if one teaches us in an assembly like this, we'll get the witness of the Holy Spirit that this is true. This is the truth of the Word of God. You see, we don't need a new organisation. We don't need a new system, something which man has developed. You know, this is it. This is the new organisation. This is the new system. Follow this and we don't need to follow men. We need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will cause us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The same anointing teaches us all things. Now, we have to short circuit everything tonight, but that is the promise of the Lord. Move in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He abides in you if you have known and received that anointing. He teaches and guides you. He keeps you day by day. It's not something which overpowers you, gets you in a stranglehold, and says you're going to do what I want you to do or else. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of promise, who comes into our lives to guide us, to lead us, to keep us. It's the precious anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you will not receive that Holy Spirit without feeling the transformation that takes place. But in the end, it's not a feeling. The anointing is a person. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit won't treat you in a way that disregards you and disregards your person. He won't give you a 100,000-volt shock and splat you on the floor. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of promise. The Word of God says that this is the inheritance and the possession of every born-again believer. Now, when you get the anointing, you may well feel something. You may well experience great joy. You may well experience what you might want to describe as electricity or whatever. But the Holy Spirit, the anointing is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And I want us tonight to encourage us tonight to move in the power of that anointing. It's necessary in our lives that we know that anointing. John wrote to little children. What about you tonight? Do you know that anointing? Do you know that anointing? Do you know that anointing of the Holy Spirit? Are you moving in that anointing of the Holy Spirit? Let's pray for that. Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.